Again, we open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, and we'll be looking at verses 13 and 14 together. May the Lord bless you and I with a holy taste for what we're about to read, and may He bless us to eat it and digest it and be affected by it in our souls. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and the expectation shall not be cut off. Let me read that once more. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Amen. Well, as you know, it's been a very busy week for Session and a very busy week for myself with all of the transitional things we've discussed already. And with our declaration of association and trying to get the website and the bulletin updated and a number of things. So it's helpful for me to turn to topical sermons this morning. As you know, praise the Lord, got through the first week of working the second job with the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. And that's a blessing, but it is still a transition of learning how to adjust and do all the work. And I do need to be catching up on hours this coming week. So it's helpful for me to be able to turn to these topical sermons, as I said, I may need to do once in a while, as I've done before. And you're always encouraging and welcoming that. I appreciate that. So I'm going to do that today. And the goal is to come back to Deuteronomy and Philippians next week in the morning and evening services. But it's also an opportunity for me because there's something that I've been wanting to think about and preach on with you. I've been thinking about for a few weeks, and so I'm going to take opportunity to do that this evening. It also gives me the opportunity to preach for a sermon request, a special request, as I like to do, from Mr. Delgado. He had mentioned it to me a while ago, and we were meeting yesterday briefly after he was doing a great job with the Van Leeuwen girls working on the library. And while we were chatting, and he knew I was struggling about whether I was going to pull off Philippians, and let alone Deuteronomy, he said, how about my request? So that's what we're doing this morning. Proverbs 24, verses 13 to 14 is the request of Mr. Delgado. And I asked him, as I like to ask any of you when you have a special request, I like to ask why and give me some of your insights that I can share to the others. And he said, because I did it. And he was referring to verse 13. He ate honey. He responded to that verse. He said, okay, I'm going to do it. And he went and he ate some honey right away. And then he said, and it worked. I did it. And it worked. And that's the idea. Now, naturally, this is a metaphor, an image to illustrate where we want to go with the Word of God. And I'll share later how it brought him to blessings in that regard as well. But the idea of honey is, yeah, do it right now. I mean, it's not hard to just get a little honey, right? We did that this morning. I wanted everybody to practice. I did this before when I preached on Psalm 119:103. I went around, everybody put a little honey on their finger. You know? And I said, just notice the immediate smell and taste, how you enjoy it, and notice how it will immediately kind of give you a little sugar in your blood and bless you. There's a quick and immediate blessing. There's no reason to hesitate. You don't usually have to convince the children to take a little honey. Right? Maybe the vegetables, but not the honey. No, that's another sermon. But that's the idea. I did it. Just get up. Okay. I said, well, I hadn't thought to actually do that at the moment. But verse 13, yeah, it says, taste some honey. Okay, I'm going to do that. What's next? Verse 14. That's the idea. You see, because when you haven't eaten for a while, you get weak. You get tired. You get irritable. You get slow. And when you begin eating, even before you've finished, your eyes brighten, your attitude lightens, and your movements become energized, even before you're done. You know what I mean, right? I mean, I'm sure all of us have had experience. We said, look, you need to sit down and eat. And then as soon as we're eating, not too long, like, oh, wow, I can't believe how much better I feel. I should have eaten a half an hour ago. What? You know, that's the idea. That's what we need. And that's the proverb's illustration. It's what it's pointing to. The effects of eating honey as a metaphorical motivation to read your Bibles. Something you swear to in your membership vows that you'll diligently read your Bibles. But we can struggle to do that. And I'm going to suggest a few things that may cause us to struggle and how this verse can help us get back in our Bibles. Because what this proverb is teaching us, verses 13 and 14 of Proverbs 24, just as eating honey brings us physical refreshment and sustenance, so tasting of the Lord's wise word brings us spiritual revival and survival. Let me read that for you again. That's the main idea of this text. I have a sermon point for you at the end. But here's the main idea. Here's the main point of the text. Just as eating honey brings us physical refreshment and sustenance, so tasting of the Lord's wise word brings us spiritual revival and survival. Now, there are three comparisons, essentially. Kind of depends on how you look at it. But there's three comparisons in this text. We're going to look at these comparisons, and it's not a contrast. It's making a comparison with an advance of thought, okay? So you could say it's a synonymous comparison that the Proverbs and the Psalms often do. Sometimes there's an antithetical comparison, but there's also a synthetic comparison that's actually kind of here too. It's not just that they're comparing things that are similar, but an advancement of an idea, okay? And that's where we come with a few comparisons we want to highlight. The first comparison is this: honey and the honeycomb. Honey and the honeycomb is being compared to what? The Bible. That is the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. So it's a little bit more than just the Bible, but having a knowledge of it, the wisdom and knowledge that comes with God's word. It's like it's a bunch of honey there waiting to benefit from. Okay, but of course in spiritual things. Both honey and the Bible are really good for you. That's the comparison being made. One is very good for you physically. The other is very good for you spiritually. Matthew Henry puts it this way: honey and, of course, therefore the word of God both have pleasure and profit. Now, don't be scared by that word pleasure. God gives us things to enjoy. This is why he gives us so many varieties of flowers. You know, Fernanda and I love to have all these succulents. We're really getting into succulents. We have them all along our windowsill in the bathroom. And I always take them before I take a shower and water all my little friends, and they're growing. I found this little picture of a succulent from Walmart I got on the wall there. Now it says, I'm a sucker for you. And they're like our little friends, and they're growing. And then there's some of them, it's so neat. These little things are falling down and growing new plants. They even know they can do that, you know. There's a pleasure I'm enjoying and just noticing there are like so many different kinds of succulents. I mean, wow, Lord, what variety. Psalm 104, how manifold are thy works, O Lord, in wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy creatures. Like, you didn't just make birds, you made a whole bunch of different kinds of birds. And you didn't just make hummingbirds, you made so many different beautifully colored hummingbirds. God gives us these things just for our pleasure. Isn't that lovely? And so honey gives us pleasure. I appreciate it. I was thinking my seminary professor of systematics, the retired Dr. Wayne Spear, you know, I remember him saying in class, I can't remember the context for sure, but he said, you know, Calvin even said, like, you know, God gives us things for pleasure. He doesn't just create things. He's an artist, and he enjoys and takes pleasure in all his variety and beauty. And he said, I think quoting Calvin, or maybe it was his own thought, but for instance, it's okay to enjoy cherry pie. I love cherry pie. Maybe you prefer something else. You pick your pie. Pick your flavor, as they say. But all these options and all these flavors. And God has given us honey for pleasure. Things that we can taste and smell and enjoy for pleasure. He's also given honey to us for profit. There's beyond the immediate smell and sensation of sweetness and pleasurable aroma. There is that profit of energy and the nutrients and even healing properties that come with it. Honey has many physical benefits, both immediately, sweetness to the smell and taste, shortly thereafter, quick energy, and long-term, nutrients, healing properties. Medical News Today website shares this about honey, and I want to encourage you to think about all that's in honey. It so, seems so simple. And this is the illustration that God is using to tell us all that is in God's word. I won't get into all the examples of how God's word is also this, but let everything we hear about honey as the example be an encouragement to us. Medical News Today website says this: honey has high levels of monosaccharides, fructose, and glucose, and it contains about 70 to 80% sugar, which provides its sweetness. Honey also has antiseptic and antibacterial properties. Modern medical science has managed to find uses for honey in chronic wound management and combating infections. The site goes on to list a lot of other benefits kind of out of that general comment. I'm not even sharing all of them, but let me share with you some of them, and keep in mind it's even more so for the Word of God for our souls. The site shares that other benefits of honey, when used in combination with other things, topically applied or internally ingested, it decreases diarrhea by increasing potassium and water intake. It reduces inflammation, heartburn, acid reflux, and it can help with stress, weakness, sleep disturbance, vision problems, bad breath, hiccups, stomach ulcers, vomiting, wounds and burns, bedwetting, high blood pressure, obesity, jaundice, eczema and dermatitis, and arthritis, to name a few. I know we're all thinking I'm going out and buying me some honey lozenges tomorrow with the lemon, which is my favorite anyways. One commentator says that honey has a healing virtue, of course, and it's considered wholesome, pure. That's the idea in the scriptures of honey as representing a wholesome sweetness. You know, it's better than the cane sugar or the artificial sweeteners, right? If you want a sweetener, it's better really to try to work with honey just in your coffee as we do usually. Because honey again represents wholesomeness in the scripture, and this is the word of God, whole, pure. Now, particularly verse 13 says honey out of the honeycomb. Now, what does that represent? Fresh purity. It hasn't been dirtied by the world, right? You don't have to refine it. It's the best stuff right out of the honeycomb. Maybe one day I'll have the courage to try to go to one of those beehives and grab one and run from the bears and the bees and try it out. But right from the honeycomb is the most pure. And you see in verse 13 of our text, it says again that that's the purest, right? Get the honey from the honeycomb. And so God's word is like that. Did you recognize what we sang in Psalm 19, verse 8? God's commandments are pure. Honey represents wholeness. Wholesomeness, and God's word is holy and good and pure. Zondervan Bible Dictionary by the editor Tenney says that honey was the standard of comparison for pleasant things. By the way, I'm getting a lot of this out of our library, which our librarians are working on making even more available. We have such resources here, and I'm thankful for that. So in the scriptures, because honey is what is compared to pleasantness and wholesomeness, it's spoken of very often. You know, I enjoy having thematic sermons. We've had sermons on rain and sermon on the stars and sermon on the sun. Well, this sermon is a bit of a focus on honey and the scriptures. Once again, it's amazing to study how often honey is brought up. For instance, to motivate the Israelites to get into the promised land and to motivate them to stay in the promised land, they are told it is a place flowing with milk and honey. If you just study that phrase, see how much that comes up in the scriptures, especially in Deuteronomy, which we're coming back to, because it's a good thing, right? Now, imagine, especially where were they? In the wilderness. Not so much milk and honey to be had there. Also, Ezekiel 16, which is such a beautiful text. I remember when this verse was brought to my attention in seminary, I was just blown away by it. How God gets us his church as an aborted baby still in our blood, left to die at the side of the road in the bushes. And he takes us and cleans us and he washes us and he raises us up into a mature woman and decorates us and makes us his bride. He's using that to complain to them, then why have you forsaken me like this? But he speaks of that, how he has helped the church and healed her as his babe and bride by giving her, among other things, honey. I gave you honey. See, these scriptures recognizing the benefit physically of the honey and what it does for the person inside and out. regularly in the Old Testament, when people would approach one another seeking favor, they would include among other gifts that they would offer honey. It was just considered one of those standard good things to be having along with other food and other items. Samson, you remember, ate honey out of the carcass of a lion and made a riddle of it. Judges 14. I won't get into all the details. It's an interesting, unusual situation, but honey, that takes on a pretty prominent place there. John the Baptist in the wilderness is a sign of being the prophet, preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet of prophets. He ate locusts and wild honey. Jesus himself, after he was raised from the dead to prove to them that he is truly here, I have a real spiritual risen physical body. To prove this is true and he's not a ghost or a spirit, like some of them thought, what do you have for me to eat? And they brought him fish and what else? Luke 24, verse 42, a honeycomb. But what's most relevant in the scriptures to our focus on honey today is 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 27 and 29. There's a broader, interesting context we won't comment on. What we'll focus on is this. Jonathan, when he was coming back, weak from war, spent, losing his strength, he saw honey along the way. He stuck his staff in it, brought it up, and ate the honey. And what did it say it did? It enlightened his eyes. Now, that's a metaphor as well, right? We really do see it in our eyes, right? If we're tired and starving, we see it in our eyes. If we eat and we get rest, our eyes are, we might say, brighter, you know? But, of course, it's representing more than that. Our whole body is like, invigorated, right? He ate the honey and it enlightened his eyes. So does the Word of God refresh us with holy vigor in our spiritual warfare progressing in sanctification. Did you notice also in Psalm 19, verse 8, what did you sing? The commandments of the Lord are pure. What else? They enlighten the eyes. Just like the honey, you see. The commandments spiritually enlighten our eyes. And when we, don't we see that when we have these moments of, I get it, I understand. And I've heard some examples recently when a person was studying, didn't understand, and then finally after reading through a number of scriptures, they understood and it came to the Lord. Their eyes were opened, right? We see that in the scriptures. Their eyes were opened and they're like, they're different. The scales come off. The word has got into them and enlightened them in the things of the Lord and in salvation. And so the word does that. And remember, of course, we sang in Psalm 19. We sang it because of verse 10. It's better to have God's word than honey and the honeycomb because it enlightens the eyes spiritually. But that's really the second comparison. The first comparison is the physical honey to the spiritual word of God, which is food for us, right? And of course, the idea that they both have benefits. It's hard to separate the comparison, but we'll focus now on the comparison. Honey's compared to the word of God. Now we consider the comparison of the consuming, the benefits of consuming honey, a little more the benefits of consuming the word of God. Again, honey is good, the Bible says here. In verse 23, it says, verse 13, eat honey because it's good. It's sweet to thy taste. So it's good for you, and it is immediately a good experience. Right now, I know one of my sons isn't crazy for honey, but he acquiesced and took the little honey. But pick something else that you like. There's different sweeteners, right? Natural sweeteners as well. But generally, we most of us are like, that's good, right? And they even have little honey sticks at a local grocery store. You can buy for 25 cents for the kids and just grab a little, open it up. It's just delicious. And it's just a quick way of getting energy. So it says here, the second comparison is honey is good, sweet to your taste. So, notice verse 14, so it's making a comparison. Just as honey is good for you and sweet to your taste, so the word of God, the knowledge of God's wisdom in his word is sweet to your soul. It has a reward, it says. And that Greek Hebrew word is, it has an end. It has a latter time, a future. And then it says, your expectation will not be cut off. That is, your expectation will be fulfilled. There is a sweetness to it immediately, and then there's this nutrient healing property of the Word of God that will see you through in perseverance as saints unto the end. And so Isaiah 7, verse 15, speaking of the Messiah, speaking of Jesus Christ when he would come, it says that he would eat honey and butter, referring to God's word. And by eating the honey of God's word, he would know how to refuse evil and to choose good. That's what Isaiah 7:15 says. If you look at the verse just before, verse 14, it's the standard verse we know quoted in the New Testament about Jesus, the Messiah. So we see that he did this spiritually in Matthew chapter 4, quoting Deuteronomy. Satan is attacking him. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested, to be the true, perfect son who would obey God no matter what in the wilderness. In a contrast to Israel, the people of God earlier. And Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tested by Satan to sin. And what does he do? He just keeps quoting Deuteronomy. And Satan even says, look, you can stir and get some bread out of these stones. Do whatever you want. And he says, don't test God. And he says, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And he's quoting Deuteronomy three times, I believe. Deuteronomy 8 being one of the references. And remember, that's where we are when we get back to our exegetical series. And he had the same benefit. And so we can have the same benefit of getting through the wilderness, surviving the wilderness of this world, along the narrow way to the promised land, following on, holding on to the back of Christ. He's the way, the truth that gets us there. Nonetheless, he calls us to enter and follow the narrow way. And the way we can have benefits to continue is having this experience ourselves, quoting God's word. Tasting and eating, memorizing and applying and using it at those moments, especially when we're starving and fasting and struggling, remembering to immediately taste of his word for spiritual strength and progress. Now, remember, the Proverbs are meant to give us wisdom. Wisdom for what? Not the wisdom of this world. It's not about intelligence. There's a lot of really smart, brilliant people you've all often heard me say who are so stupid as it relates to living life. And they ruin their lives and everyone's lives around them because of it. The Proverbs are not inviting us to a vain intellectualism, even if it is brilliance of understanding and recognizing things in God's world without crediting him for it. The Proverbs are telling us how to live life well by knowing how to choose good from evil, by able to recognize the difference and choose the good way of life so that we have the respective good effects instead of the bad effects on our lives and on those around us. And yet sometimes we can still be reluctant to eat. We're tired. You know, sometimes, doesn't this happen? Mom says, dinner's ready. But dad has to say, come on, let's go. Mother worked hard. Let's get in there. Don't make her wait. Why do we wait? Why, we're distracted by things. And sometimes we're not necessarily sure we're hungry or we just want to be bothered. Sometimes I just don't feel like eating. But what do we say to our children, especially if they haven't tried something that they say they don't like? Well, how do you know you don't like it if you haven't tried it, right? And a lot of times, I've enjoyed watching Fernanda try all of these American foods. She's so funny. She talks about America. I should have been born here. She loves so many things about it, but she also loves the foods. And it's so fun. I said, I've learned to know her pretty good. She always says, how do you know me? I said, because I observe you. And you're just like Ron Renner. You're so predictable. I know what you like, and I know you're going to always get that. I'm going to have to convince you to try something else because I know what I like. And I get her to try something. Now, once in a while, she doesn't like it, but sometimes I just love to watch it. She's a little doubtful. And this is amazing, you know. Just try it. How do you know? You know, we've enjoyed watching somebody feed Phil. I don't know if you've seen that. We don't have the way to watch it anymore, but we've really enjoyed it. He goes all around the world and tries different foods. And it was really wonderful, as all the fellowship of the people he meets. But Isaac's the best at imitating him. He does this all the time at the dinner table to make mom laugh. When he eats something, when he really likes it, he's always very polite if it's mas o menos, you know. And he always looks for something good. But when he really likes something, he can't help it. He's like, he just does that. You have to ask Isaac to do it later. He's much better at it. And that's the idea. Just try it. He said, actually, I saw an interview with him recently. He says, I've tried so many foods I never thought I would ever eat. But then you find, wow, some of them are really delicious. And that's the idea. We need the Lord to help us, especially if we have to go to Deuteronomy or Leviticus, right? Or I'm really intimidated to preach Isaiah one day. Hopefully we get there. But the Lord will give us an appetite and give us a taste. You know, there's things I eat now I never ate as I was a kid. And usually it's for my mother-in-law that I try to, but in the courting process. But you know, I'm like, oh, why wasn't I ever eating this? This is so much better for me, and it actually tastes pretty good. And we are encouraged by God to not just eat little bits, but the whole Word of God. As Paul says in the book of Acts to the elders of Ephesus, for 3 years, I taught you publicly and house from house. I taught you the whole Word of God. And so therefore, your blood's not on my hands with what you do with it. I gave it all to you. I give you this big, great meal. I give you plenty to eat. May the Lord help us as we come to the Word and we come for big meals of His Word, because it is big and involved and deep. May He help us to come and learn how to eat of it, because it's so good for us. Let's just try. But this leads us to the third comparison. The first comparison is honey. The Word of God is like honey. Particularly, the Word of God is like honey in that it has immediate pleasure when you sample it, and then it has ongoing benefits because of it. But you want to develop a taste and appetite to keep doing it, and that has to start somewhere, and if you don't, you get no benefit. If the honey stays on the shelf, or the food stays on the table and you don't eat it, does it do anything for you? Oh, maybe a little bit of the smell and the sight, but not much, right? What do you have to do? You have to eat it. And so this is this last comparison, and really the most important comparison. It's more important than the other ones. To enjoy the benefits of honey for your body, you must eat. Verse 13 sounds elementary, doesn't it? But and sometimes we have to help those who are sick to eat. You have to eat, right? But we all have to eat. And the honey, we have to eat, or we don't get the sweetness to our mouth. And we don't get the aroma in our nasal passages. And we don't get the energy that comes with it and the nutrients and the medicinal properties of it. So similarly, to enjoy the spiritual benefits of God's Word, you must eat. You must taste. Or as it said in verse 14, you have to find it. The scriptures speak elsewhere in the Proverbs, like mine for it, like gold, right? And even that comparison of honey and gold are both in verse 10 of Psalm 19. You have to work for it. You have to go after it. You have to go shopping, right? That's the other thing. We have food in our refrigerator because mom and grandma went shopping yesterday. And that's why it's there, you know? So you have to go looking and getting it, but then you have to cook it. And you have to eat it. You have to prepare it. And that's really what you hired me for, to be kind of the chef to bring the main meal to you every week on the Lord's Day, right? And that takes work and effort to bring you a properly prepared meal. And I appreciate how training in seminary and presbytery exams, they said, you know, they're not going to remember most of what you teach them, which can be a bit humiliating and frustrating. But what they say is it doesn't matter. Just like when you go to a meal, a wonderful meal, they don't pay attention to all the ingredients. They don't think about how you put it all together. They just eat and they're glad they ate. And that's the goal here, that we are spiritually fed. Yes, that we grow mentally and spiritually and understand things, but we need to come and eat together. If you do not find the Word of God, if you do not come to study it together, if you do not put it into your mouth by faith, that is, there will be no benefit. You have to taste to ingest and make use of its knowledge and wisdom inside. So Charles Bridges, nice commentary on Proverbs in our library I found yesterday. Charles Bridges says this: experimental knowledge alone gives spiritual discernment and proves the gospel to be not a golden dream, but a divine reality. Now, naturally, we need the work of the Holy Spirit to make any of this effective. We know that. Nonetheless, He uses means. And this is really, you hear that word, experimental knowledge? That's something emphasized by the concern of the Puritans. Oh, they were very doctrinal. Go look at our library. There's some pretty big meals there, right? Sometimes I'm thinking, why didn't they say it in half the size? But there's a lot there. So it's not that they were afraid of doctrine and thinking hard, but they were just as much interested in practice and purity and reformation of my own life and revival and making my life according to the Word of God. And they would talk about it as a experimental. The Puritans were concerned with an experimental, experiential religion. That is a real Christianity, that actually we know and eat the Word of God for ourselves. So, for instance, some of you could be sitting here and ignoring everything that's being said. Some of you could be, and I'm not accusing anyone, but you could be sitting here and not eating. You could be sitting at the table or the table of the Lord later and spiritually not eat, even if you look to be physically. listening or consuming. Spiritually, may God help us by our spirits respond to him in faith and consume of his word, that we would benefit from it. Because when you do eat God's word, you will discover and rediscover how good is God's word and how good he is. Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, the Lord gives himself to us by his holy word. You will sing when you do taste and when you do eat of God's word. You will sing anew for yourself of your own experience, your own glorious experience. You can say these words. Oh, boy, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad we went back to that restaurant. I forgot. Oh, man, was that good. They just have a special something. You eat God's word. You come to it anew and you will sing for yourself. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is their great reward. That actually goes on to verse 11. And see, that's a big idea. As we've considered recently in Deuteronomy, God is promising a reward. He's giving you motivation. It isn't just so that you don't sin. It's so that you enjoy all the blessings of living with him and feeding on him who is the bread of life. Psalm 119, verse 103, we opened with our call to worship. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now listen, he's talking about one who is experimenting. He's doing what Mike did. And that's what he's saying. Do it. That's what he's telling us to do. But he's saying, I've done it, and it's true. And God's calling upon us the same. Be able to say yourselves, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Eat, beloved. Taste God's word. Don't leave it on your shelves. Don't let it collect dust. Don't let your application be one that is never highlighted in your phone's history of being opened very often. These are the dangers for us. I preached originally back in Pittsburgh, and I preached it for you, Psalm 119, verse 103, the message for you in that sermon, you can go listen to it again if you'd like on sermon audio, was this: savor your Savior's sweet words. And remember that Jesus Christ, your risen Lord, your Savior, is the Word. Taste of him in his Word. John 1, verse 1, he is the Logos, he is the Word. Further, eat of him, because we know from John 6, verse 58, that he is the bread and manna of heaven. And as we think of him calling himself the manna of heaven, the true manna from heaven that gives spiritual life, remember in Exodus 16, verse 31, the manna tasted like what? Wafers made with honey. And so is Christ, the Word. So you can trust as you come to Jesus again and again to feed of him, including in the Lord's Supper, which is from his word. He's going to feed you and he's going to make it sweet to you. He's going to bless you with the sweetness of the reminder of your salvation and that your lives have been rewritten by his grace. Your story has been overwritten. He's made you new creatures in him. He's going to remind you what he's done for you. And you're going to be so blessed by that sweetness. As you take and eat of the bread and drink of the wine, and it touches your senses and reminds you of the sweetness and the goodness of Jesus, the manna from heaven, tasting like wafers made with honey. Think of this also as you think of your Savior, Song of Solomon, which is a real life story, but a metaphor intend to describe the marriage between Jesus and the bride, his church, it speaks often as honey under your tongue. Now, beloved, don't feel like you have to always have a big, involved, lengthy meal to be able to benefit. Sometimes I skip breakfast because I don't feel like I have time, especially lately. Going to bed late, getting up early, not taking many breaks. I just don't feel, and I've never been much of a morning person, and I've never been much of a breakfast person. I want to be that guy that goes to the diner and has all the eggs. See, I don't like eggs. I need to get over that, I guess, but I never have, no matter what I do to them. But I've never been that guy, but, you know, when I find that I do skip the breakfast or a decent breakfast, whatever that is for me, I notice the difference. Boy, I have a hard time getting started, you know? Just dragging to try to start with the work. You eat, even if you're tired, and it can immediately revive and help you do your work. But you don't always have to feel like you got to have this huge meal before you. I think that's why we often spiritually neglect our devotions in the morning and then throughout the day. And then we get to the evening and we can relate to the prayer I've shared by, I think, one of the Puritans, "Lord, I'm tired. Amen." You know, I mean, it can just be so difficult sometimes to give yourselves to the word. And this is a reality we all have to deal with. Here is the invitation and encouragement from the scripture. Oh, it's just like honey. I mean, how hard is it to just, don't you do that? Well, maybe I shouldn't tell you. I'll grab the cup and, you know, a little bit of honey. Have somebody find you. It's just like honey. Just go take a little taste. Don't worry about having this, but just go get a little taste and see what happens. Just like honey, it only takes a little bit of the scripture to bless you, beloved. You know, there are these lovely daily devotions, Matthew Henry's prayer, which is all the scriptures. Remember, we studied that book, A Way to Pray. I get from the Alliance now on my phone every day, at least something like that start with, you know, and then there's another daily scripture that can come to you. I know you can get all those things. You know, don't worry if you don't get through the whole Bible in a year. I know we all want to do that, and I think we should try, but sometimes I don't think we do anything because that is such a huge meal, I don't even know where to start biting. Although, what did they say? How do you eat an elephant? I'm not saying to eat an elephant. Bear with me. It's a metaphor. One bite at a time, right? You know, just a little bit is sometimes all you need. And the immediate benefits are worth it. And then it leads to eating more regularly every day and then throughout the day. The results are immediate gratification. The scripture is just like honey in that regard also. That's why I'm saying eat. Just taste it. Just do it. Like Mike said, I just did it and it worked. Try right away. The Psalms are an invitation to find out for yourself right away. Just a little bit will bless. It doesn't mean we don't want to be students of the word. It doesn't mean we don't want to be going to the big meals and things. But, you know, sometimes until you just revive yourself with the little stuff, you don't get there. Right? And it's the little meals and the regular sustenance that keeps us going. It doesn't take long for honey like sugar to get into your blood system and energize you. Similarly, the sweetness of your tongue and immediate pleasure, just the enjoyment of it. It's the same with God's word. Don't skip it if you feel like you don't have time, especially in the morning. That's not a good way to start the day. You need to get some energy to get going spiritually. And you need the pleasure that comes with it to strengthen you to love the Lord and have the joy of the Lord. Just take a small taste each morning if that's all you can do. Do it with devotion. Don't just do it, you know, half-heartedly. But have your breakfast, lunch, and dinner also in manageable ways. Sometimes you can just pack a sandwich. That's all you got time for sometimes. But do that with an apple. Don't just go with nothing, right? Because then what do you start doing where you're at work? You start eating all the leftover cake and cookies from last 2 weeks ago, right? You know, and whatever, you're like, what? Oh, yeah, I guess maybe you don't all do that. But, you know you're prone to go eat the bad stuff when you don't prepare yourself with the good stuff. And just prepare manageable meals when that's all you have time for. Because as soon as you partake of it, you're going to get blessed with pleasure and with profit ongoing. Take some short snacks in between. And you will enjoy its sweetness immediately and acquire a taste over time that develops bigger meals. And as you do so, you will build up a more holy appetite for spiritual things that keep you coming back for more. Just get started and watch how the scriptures immediately sanctify your thinking and your feelings and your walk. I love what Dr. Barnhouse shared. I think it was in the lectures on Philippians I got to go back to. he quotes a minister. I didn't have time to go back and find out the name. But he says there's a minister he knows who made a decision, and it was this. This became his daily model in the morning. No breakfast. No, excuse me. No Bible, no breakfast. That was his model. I am not going to eat food until I've eaten the spiritual food. That is a great way, beloved, to start, remember, start your day. No Bible, no breakfast. Or you can say no breakfast before Bible. The physical sustenance, the honey, is important and necessary. But what's more important is the Word of God. And he said that as he did that, he experienced, he had to do it. Because, you know, you can get through a day. I know we all like to pretend we can't, but yes, we can. Especially we Americans. We got plenty packed away, most of us, if we really have to. And we should experience spiritual fasting with food anyways. But, you know, most of us, if we really couldn't eat throughout the day, we could get used to it. Your body kind of gets used to it and you'll be okay. You can't go for that forever. But if we had to choose, it would be better not to go hungry spiritually. Because don't you and I so quickly crash spiritually without having given ourselves to the honey of God's word. And just take a little bit if that's all you can do. He said he noticed it helped him challenge with the challenges of daily life much better by no breakfast, no Bible. Now, have your Bible and then have your breakfast. It's the best way to go, right? So, beloved, just awaken your senses with a taste and you'll want to eat more. Now, Fernanda and I were on a date this week. We were riding our bikes at the South Bay and it got really late. And we were looking for a restaurant, and we almost thought maybe we should just go home. I don't even feel hungry. It was kind of late. But we wanted to maximize the time with the babysitters, the family who were taking care of things for us, and we don't get out that much right now. And so we were, but we both said, you know, I don't really feel hungry. I said, but by the time we get home, we're not going to want to cook or eat, and let's just try to find something. And while we started to meander now in our car, exploring what restaurants are available and open on the strip going down Imperial Beach, We said this would happen. I know as soon as we start to get near a restaurant and smell it and think about it, we're going to feel hungry. And isn't that what happens? Like, just get yourself hungry, you know, like know that once you start, you will. And sure enough, the other concern is it was almost 10 o'clock and we weren't getting into any of these restaurants. And we were so happy to find a pizza place that needed to get rid of its old slices before it closed down, even though they were closed. That's the only option. And we had some pizza and oh, we were so happy to have that outside. Gourmet pizza too, but you know. And we were enjoying it, but by the time we got there and were thinking about it, oh, we were getting hungry. But we were not hungry at all before we started to say, we need to eat. When we start thinking and smelling, we'll get hungry. And of course, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, it's funny. It's like Pavlov's dogs, right? So just trust that's going to happen for you. One commentator says this of the text. As delicious food whets the appetite, so should the rewards of wisdom excite us to see it. Charles Bridges, speaking of tasting and digesting the scriptures, writes, they excite the spiritual senses. They invigorate while they refresh. It inspires energy, elevates hope, and makes our service perfect freedom. So hard to serve the Lord without his word. And of course, we need the Holy Spirit to make it effectual in us. But how do we know that? The Bible. The Holy Spirit uses his word, and we desperately need him to work in us. So as I said, Michael Delgado, I said, what about this verse? I tried it. Verse 13, and it worked. He ate the honey. And he also said, and by the way, thinking of milk and honey, he says, if you eat the honey and then you drink a little milk right after, he says, oh, I can't even describe how amazing it is. So you might want to go home and try that. He said, it's hard to describe how great it is. And then it did lead him, of course, by testing that verse, going on to the verse 14 and tasting and eating of the word. He said when he read that scripture, it started to cause him to read the entire Proverbs in a couple of days. And he found his life was sweeter in fellowship with the Lord and in his marriage and with his parenting and how it developed other ways of working with God's word. And that is the effect of the Proverbs again. They are inviting you to come and experience for yourself in practical ways the reality by trying it out yourself. Study and obey God's word and experiment with it in your life and find the sweet life is there waiting for you. In fact, the Proverbs and the Scriptures are meant to be sucked on like hard candy. Jay Adams talks about that in his counseling books. And I remember my my Greek professor, Dr. Watt, he gave a sermon on the Proverbs in chapel once. And he says, they're meant to just be, you know, you gotta. Now, I like the hard candies that have the soft center. I don't know about you. That's what I like. And it's worth getting to them. I'm not crazy about the hard candy, but as you suck on it, you're thinking about it a lot longer than, you know, the jelly beans I like to eat, right? They're gone. You suck on that hard candy, you get the flavor and the aroma more, you think about it more, moving around, kind of like the chewing of the cud of the cow we're told to be like in the Scriptures. And so go to the Proverbs, especially for learning how to live life, and suck on it, think about it, just keep tasting it. Go back to the same ones for a while. Sometimes the best thing you can do if you're struggling and tired is just find a verse that you know you need to be thinking about and growing with, and study it just every day. Just give yourself to it every day and keep sucking on it. Keep being blessed by it, especially the Proverbs. Because you will find over time that there's more and more sweetness there. But even early on, the proverb tells you, you will get an immediate pick-me-up of pleasure, along with the ongoing maturing profit. So, beloved, each morning and all through the day, sweeten your daily life with Scripture. And that is the message for you from the text this morning. Sweeten your daily life with Scripture. Let us pray. Father, we confess to you how often we are bitter. We confess to you how often, even when we eat your word, it is bitter to our stomach, as Ezekiel 3 and Revelation 10 speaks of. Because we eat it and it is so sweet to our taste, but it grieves us to see others hate it and hate us for it and have no interest in it. And that bitterness can sometimes be a danger to us, to forget to keep tasting and seeing that you are good, to keep sampling of the amazing benefits of the Scriptures. Lord, we pray that you would bless us to be strengthened with spiritual nourishment and physical nourishment that is healthy and wholesome. And not just with the food to our mouths, but to our eyes and to our ears from this world. But we pray especially, Lord, that you would make us hungry for your word and satisfy us with your righteousness. And though it may be bitter in our stomach at times, when it isn't accepted by others, that we would be thankful that you would allow that sweet smell and taste to linger in on our tongues and in our noses. And Lord, we pray that it would cause us to therefore offer up you sweet smelling sacrifices of praise and service in your nose, as it were, as you speak in the Scriptures. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would bless us, that we would respond in faith and do this. And Lord, that you would cause the word indeed to be alive and active and tasty to us, because without your work, it will not be this to us, though it is what it is. Give us a taste and an appetite for your word, O Lord. Let it develop one sip at a time. Bless us with hors d'oeuvres and appetizers at first, but help us to keep growing in it, Lord. For as soon as we do, we'll say, ooh, this is good. I'd like to have another helping, please. Bless us, O Lord, we pray, with these things. Bless your people to love to eat your word. And, O Lord, bless them with all of its benefits. And as we come to you in your word, in the sacrament that is accompanied by your word, feed us, O Lord, with the body and blood of Christ, and strengthen us. And help us, O Lord, by spiritual nourishment to serve you well, body and soul, this week. Thank you for all that your word tells us, especially that you forgive us of our sins and you give us Christ's righteousness and you call us to be holy as you are holy. Through the Holy One, Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to hallow the name of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all your people said, Amen.